0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers get their result of the season against Aberdeen ahead of the club's AGM, which sees Dave King assure supporters they're closing in on a new manager and is likely to be someone with Scottish football knowledge and who is currently in a job. Elsewhere, Celtic come within minutes of losing that unbeaten domestic run at Motherwell, but a late and much debated Scott Sinclair penalty rescues a point for Brendan Rodgers' side, with the team set to do it all over again on Saturday. It's a Thursday evening, so as always, I'm joined by Gordon DL, and tonight you have the joy of being joined by Mark Guidi. A change to the usual structure, are you okay with that?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Mark and I have had great shows together over the years.
If you do say so yourself.
No, Mark's always contributed a little bit, but it's nice to have Mark here tonight.
Self-praise is no praise. Mark Guidi, it was always going to be a big couple of days in Scottish football, wasn't it? You looked just purely on the field last night. Two cracking fixtures, they served up a great deal of drama, and then of course on to the Rangers AGM today as well. So all happening.
It is, yeah, and certainly a great deal of light has been shed by Dave King on the current situation at Rangers, and what a fantastic result for them last night to win 3-0, and the drama and the controversy once again between Celtic and Motherwell.
Plenty to get involved with on the phone lines, 0141 951 1025, and we're on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's start with that Rangers AGM in terms of the news that's come out of that today. We're joined by our sports reporter Ronnie Charters, who's been keeping across things today. Ronnie, we'll touch on some of the main topics. The obvious one for the football fans listening is about the manager, the managerial search. So Dave King obviously spoke at the AGM today. Just bring us up to speed on what progress has been made on the managerial search.
Yeah, as you can imagine, it was, you know, the main talking point, getting a new manager in place. It's been over a month now since Pedro Caixinha departed and still no manager. It was quite an honest update from Rangers, to be honest. Dave King took a few questions from the floor. He said he understands the frustration of the Rangers fans. There was a question from Club 1872 who talked about the unacceptable delay in the managerial process, and he stressed that he rejected those claims and stressed it's the importance of getting it right. You know, as you spoke about it as well, Gordon, he's talked of experience in Scotland. He spoke of many candidates currently under contract at the club as well. So he also kept coming back to this long-term vision and long-term appointment. He suspected that it would be a 3-year, maybe 4-year deal for the manager on offer as well. So plenty of positives for Rangers in terms of getting information from Dave King. And one could argue that all clues lead to one man, and that could be Derek McInnes.
Mark Guidi, let me get your interpretation of what was said today, because the main accusation that we've been hearing in this show is that the Rangers fans are left in the dark and there's not been many updates. So Dave King was fairly clear today, saying that he hoped that he could have appointed the manager quicker, but basically the managers were out of work, he didn't fancy them. So it now looks like it will be someone who is in work, and he stressed as well, not only at the AGM, but there was an interview on Rangers TV afterwards about the importance of having someone with this Scottish football knowledge.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%, and I said that back at the time when Pedro Caixinha was appointed, that somebody should know Scottish football and somebody that should know Rangers. And some people don't agree with that, I think there's too much made of that, but I think you need to know the mentality of the club, of the supporters, the enormity of the task that you face in terms of stopping 10 in a row. And stopping 10 in a row might sound shallow, it's maybe not the be all and end all, but I think it's very, very important to the future of Rangers. And it does all point towards Derek McInnes. He is the outstanding candidate for many reasons, and I think to give Rangers the best possible chance of catching Celtic and then looking to overtake them within time, I think he gives them the best chance of achieving that. But he can't achieve it unless he is given proper funding to do so, and that's where the Rangers board have to step up to the plate.
Now, no, towards the end of last week, Gordon, we were supposed to be drawing a line under it and moving on as far as Derek McInnes was concerned. It's just quite difficult when you hear Dave King today saying that it has to be a manager with knowledge of Scottish football and he is likely to be in a job at the moment. That obviously that criteria applies to Derek McInnes, as it does with other managers as well, but that's why some fans are still out there still wondering if that might be the case.
Yeah, when you hear those words, Gordon, you look about and you think, well, who's the candidates? And the one Mark touched on there is Derek McInnes. I think we'll get a few Rangers supporters calling in tonight saying, why are we going for Derek McInnes after last night? They're a double header. Will they wait till after a double header and then make their move? It seems that might be the road they're going down. But I don't think Derek done himself a lot of favours last night with his performance with his team. Tactically, they were outdone. And you've got to look at the opposition bench. He was outdone with a Rangers under 20 coach. So that might be a big question over him. But we just don't judge the manager in one game. But I think the double header, if he gets beaten Sunday at Pittodrie, I think you'll get a lot of Rangers supporters saying, no, it isn't the right decision.
Now, Ronnie, at this AGM, I'm sure that the finances issue came up. People obviously keeping a close eye on Rangers' finances. What did Dave King have to say about that side of things?
Yeah, again, quite honest again from the Rangers chairman. Rangers currently running at a loss, and obviously they're aided by loans from Dave King and other shareholders. That's likely to continue until the end of the season. That's what Dave King said today. But he also stressed that he can't always rely on those loans. It's, and where possible, they must remain within the confines of their own financial structure. An interesting point as well came from the floor when they asked about when the club would become self-sufficient, and Dave King said within maybe 2 or 3 years they would like to see, you know, significant progress in that. But he did stress also only if and when the club do well and get significant progress in European football. He mentioned the Europa League first in the early stages and then into the Champions League. So quite a detailed financial review, to be honest with you, from Derek.
Dave King, easy for you to say. Just finally, as I said, a number of topics covered, but the other main sort of headlines, he touched on Pedro Caixinha's time at the club, the sacking of him, and the recruitment process as well. So give us a bit of a flavour of what went on there, and then we'll get to the guys on the phone lines.
Yeah, as you can imagine, Rangers fan wanting to know the process of recruiting Pedro Caixinha. He admitted himself that yes, it didn't work out, but at the initial stage, you know, he didn't think it was the right decision to make Pedro Caixinha the manager. In terms of the transfer dealings and recruitment, he spoke of, you know, under Mark Warburton and Pedro Caixinha, they weren't good enough, pure and simple. But he stressed under Mark Allen, director of football, that could and will be different. He also spoke of the mismanagement of the club under their financial dealings. You know, he mentioned selling Barry Mackay for 500,000. You know, he doesn't want the club to be seen as a fire sale club to the rest of the market, so stressing that it needs to get their finances and their management under control, both at board level but in recruitment as well.
Thanks to Ronnie Charters for providing that update on Rangers AGM. 01419511025 if you've got any thoughts. Loads to get through tonight. We'll get on to all things Motherwell Celtic. We'll hear from Scott Brown as well, not happy with the Fir Park crowd, so plenty to discuss. In the meantime, let's speak to John in Parkhead. Hi John.
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hi Gordon. Two Gordons and Mark.
Hi John.
Hi John.
I just wanted to talk about the Rangers game last night. I was there, very very happy. Obviously, we get the 3 points. But you know, I wanted, obviously it's a team performance. But I looked at a few guys last night. I thought young Ross McCrory was outstanding, and a great rollway play just in front of the two at the back. I thought Bruno Alves brought a wee bit of composure back to the back, and I thought Danny Wilson has been. I know he's been there a long time, he's been out of the team with the injury, but I thought last night, I think when he plays with somebody with a wee bit of experience next to him, I said, I think he looks the part. And I think Derek McInnes I heard last night at the game that he'll be named the manager on Monday, around about lunchtime. And I've obviously, I've got a point for Mark Greedy. I always talk to Mark, just a wee bit about the press with Brendan Rodgers.
Let's start with the football first then, John, and we'll get on to it just so we can keep up. Gordon, in a purely footballing sense.
Yeah.
You would have to say that. I mean, it has to be Rangers' performance and result of the season.
I get that
people will say that maybe the bar hasn't been set too high, but you can only give credit really for what Rangers did last night.
Best performance of the season by a country mile. They looked a different outfit. I think the big plus for Rangers, and John touched on it, McCrory in the middle of the park, I thought he looked absolutely terrific in there. He looked better in there than he does at centre back, and he's a decent centre back. He read the game well, he controlled the game well. Rangers dominated the midfield, and Aberdeen just didn't know what to do, especially in the first 40 odd minutes, and Derek decided to change it because obviously Aberdeen's tactics weren't working against Rangers. But it was just the pace, the enthusiasm, the commitment. Every Rangers player, for a man, rolled their sleeves up last night, and really, you know, I think they helped Rangers this morning in the AGM because it took a bit of pressure off the board. But Graham Murty, I think, deserves a lot of praise for his tactics, the way he set his team out. No Morelos up front, obviously out injured. and they went with a different system. He went with the diamond, and it just looked like it suited the players. Brought Alves back in, bit experience. I thought Rangers really, really played well and deserved the victory.
Yeah, a great result for Rangers to go and get a 3-0 win. Something to say, you know, unexpected considering the back to back defeats, and to beat Aberdeen at Ibrox is a really good achievement. And it's now about following that up. It's about getting the consistency into, you know, John's mentioned there, you know, Bruno Alves really looked the part, and with all respect, so he should. That's what he's been brought there for. He should be looking the part. He should be an absolute standout in Scottish football, not to mention the salary that he's getting as well. He's got to go and justify that in terms of the improvement too, and McCrory, it's great to see. And if Rangers have got two or three more than these boys coming through, then the job of Derek McInnes, or whoever the next Rangers manager is going to be, is to improve them, because he's not going to have tens of millions of quid to go and work with. I mean, probably most of the kit has been used up by Pedro Caixinha, which again was an act of folly giving the guy
Dave
that much.
King did say today that they would back any new manager. He was clear in that. Whether that happens or not, of course, time will tell. Yeah. But just to report what he said today.
Yeah, I mean, they'll try their best to back him, but it depends what the level of backer is and what Rangers don't have, and he's identified it too. And again, you can lay the blame on this at Pedro Caixinha, is losing somebody like Barry McKay for $500,000. What Rangers have got to try and do is create 4, 5, 6, 7 million quid players in the transfer market, Gordon. That's what we've got to do. If you look at the value of the Rangers squad just now, you know, it's not going to be able to mount a challenge if you have to sell one or two. So there's so much work to be done, but it can be done. You know, there's a balance there. You've got 40,000 season ticket holders, which right away will bring in 17, 18 million quid. And if they get the right guy in and he gets a bit of momentum, you can really see him doing well.
John, what was the final point you wanted to make?
I always said, just the one about McInnes, but Mark, can I ask you a question?
Yes, John.
And I've always spoken, I like your honest opinion.
John, what is going on in the background? You've got some serious competing to do there.
No, Harry, but it's not that guy for John for Hamilton.
Oh, I hope not.
Mark, where it is, I know it's a wee bit of a joke here. Mark, why is it only John Daly in Scottish football who's pressing Brendan Rodgers? Brendan Rodgers has had his opinion a lot of times in Scottish football. Uh-huh. Also, the Rangers manager, Hamden, the media, he's not interested with the media, say. And nobody seems to.
John, where are you?
John, you know discipline in that house.
I'm working. I've actually got something in the back of the
tank. Right, let me ask Mark. I'll try and paraphrase. John wants to know why people aren't questioning Brendan Rodgers more often. He thinks that John Daly did it. Remember the comments when Hearts played, but he doesn't think people are questioning Brendan Rodgers enough.
Listen, I can't answer that because I don't know. It's up to the other managers, players, stakeholders in this game if they want to challenge Brendan Rodgers over his comments or whatever. But I mean, you look at it, he is up on a pedestal because of what he's achieved, and maybe some people just don't think that they've got the right to take him on in terms of how do they back it up when you take on who's perceived to be the top man in Scottish football in terms of coaches and managers just now. But to answer that question, yeah, he's right. It is really only John Daly. Even Stephen Robinson on Sunday, you know, he said that he wanted to keep his dignity, but I thought he actually might have had a go because I felt ever so sorry for Motherwell in terms of that decision on Sunday with the penalty kick. But I don't know why people don't take him on. Probably because they think that, why do we want to get in this guy's wrong side considering what he's got on the pitch to go and harm them with.
Mark is also in Partick. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing? It's just a couple of points, obviously about the manager situation at Rangers. Derek McInnes would just be a total joke. I would go for that creation guy that left West Ham at Celtic,
Slaven Bilic.
Aye, I would go for him. And I think Rangers will be in new hands probably in January or come the summertime. Rangers will have a new board then, because they're going to see that board taking us forward if they're going for guys like Derek McInnes. I mean, that was a joke last night watching Aberdeen. You get a better game with Stirling. I mean, it's just a total joke. I mean, Aberdeen wasn't even at the races. But that boy Windass and Penn, I just wanted to talk about. I thought Penn's got talent if he can settle, and Windass through the middle, Aberdeen couldn't even control him through the middle.
Let's take the 2 points in isolation then. Gordon, you can have the second one on the football. Mark, you know, the other Mark on the phone line says Slaven Bilic, but we heard Dave King today say it's going to be someone who's got a knowledge of Scottish football and probably someone who's already in a job. So
yeah, no, I don't think Slaven Bilic is in the running. Well, in fact, he's not in the running. You know, listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion, whether you think Derek McInnes is the right man or not. However, I just think it's disrespectful, and I think it weakens any argument you've got when you say the guy's a total joke, because that's just not right. You know, it's not right to say a professional manager who has taken Aberdeen in the past 4 years and previous achievements, to call him a total joke is not right for me, and I just don't think it's, I don't think it's a nice thing to say.
On the football then, Gordon, you know, Carlos Peña, we've talked about him many times on this show, and Graham Murty's first couple of games in charge, I think I'm right in saying he didn't even make the match day squad, into the starting 11 last night, gets his goal, always seems to be in good positions to do that type of thing. What did you make of him?
I'll hold my judgment for the next few games, Gordon. The last time,
see if we can get a bit of a run.
Yeah, the last time I witnessed him was he came off in the semi-final against Motherwell at Hampden, and he was absolutely dreadful, let's be honest. The Rangers fans are now shouting that he's fantastic after that performance last night. He got his goal. Yeah, he's got a knack of getting a goal, but he's got to be consistent. Mark talked about the fact of Alves coming here and he should be performing. Well, this guy came with a 2.5 million or 2.2 million price tag on big wages. So pitching in my goal last night against Aberdeen and I have decent performance, I don't think that wins everything over for you. You've got to be consistent. Mm-hmm. You look at Morelos, for instance, when he came into the side and I was talking about the work rate and different things about him, and everybody was on here having a real dig at me, and he was scoring goals and everybody thought he's the best thing going about. He's gone, I know a boy never played last night, he's gone something like 9-10 games without a goal. So it's consistency for me. And I would like to see Peña now kicking on from this. I think away to Aberdeen's a big weekend for him. I think he's certainly going to play again. So go and show you can do it away from home. At Aberdeen, a difficult place. Every professional footballer will tell you, going up to Pittodrie, never an easy game. I would like to see the lad kicking on, but I thought last night he played very well.
Whatever way you look at it, it was a night of high drama at Fir Park. That is not in question. If you've got any thoughts on that, Celtic fans, Motherwell fans, give us a call. 01419511025. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers, Stephen Robinson and Motherwell's Andy Rose after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Guidi and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've touched on Rangers, the result against Aberdeen and the AGM. Let's turn our attentions to that game at Fir Park last night. It was always going to be a good game, especially coming after the cup final at the weekend. I'm sure you all know the story of the game by now. Mikael Lustig scores an own goal. Motherwell are 1-0 up. Couple of minutes to go. Willie Collum awards a penalty. Scott Sinclair scores it and the unbeaten run continues. Let's just cut to the chase. Let's not beat around the bush. Gordon, did you think it was a penalty?
This morning, not a chance. Never a penalty kick in a million years, until I come in here tonight. And you know, I come in early and do a lot of research and a lot of work before I come on the programme. And I watched it from a different angle, and I can understand Willie Collum's view of it, and I can understand why he's given the penalty kick. To be honest, it's the only one I thought, like Mark, I thought the one on Sunday was disgraceful.
Oh, for goodness sake, please don't go back to Sunday. Let's just deal with this one.
I thought it was disgraceful, and I said that. But last night, I can honestly sit here and say, I haven't a clue, Gordon.
Gordon Dalziel's got some splinters from sitting on the fence
I haven't a clue.
Mark Guidi,
yeah,
well, what about yourself?
Yeah, you think it is or it isn't. So do you think it's a penalty or not?
I think it's
a yes or a no. You can answer it in one word.
Yeah, I think it's not a penalty, and then it's a penalty, Mark, to be honest with you.
What is it?
I've no idea, because I've thought all day, I'm coming on this programme and I'm going to say it's never a penalty kick. I thought McGregor dived down, made the best of it, 2 minutes to go, desperation, get a penalty kick.
But you've now seen another angle
and
you're not sure.
I've seen another angle, right, okay. And I'm honestly not sure. And all the times I've watched football,
well, the bottom line then, if you're not sure you can't give it. If you're a referee and you're not sure, yeah, then you
what about you, Mark? Sure. What about your view? Yeah, Gordon's confusing himself and me over there.
I had one view of it this morning, thought no, watch the angles that you've provided for us tonight in the office, and 100% a penalty. And I think when you watch that, it looks like there's contact from the right knee into the kind of top of the thigh, the hamstring buttock area of McGregor. And I think as well, it kind of makes me think now, definitely a penalty, is the way that Callum McGregor's gone down, to me it looks natural, not theatrical. It looks like a natural fall from being taken from the back.
I mean, so I've seen people say
penalty, sorry, just to say, if I think it's a penalty kick, having been critical of Craig Thompson at the weekend, I think you've got to give Willie Collum a lot of praise for spotting that and getting it right.
Okay, let's get to the phone lines. John's in Motherwell. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Not bad, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Right, my question is regarding the offside rule.
Okay.
Now, whether certain individuals think it was a penalty or no, I've looked at it just at the one angle that I can get. Now, when Carson saved the shot, McGregor ran off the park behind the goals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The minute he enters the action, sets foot back on the park, he's offside. Now, shoot me down in flames if I'm wrong, but there are going to be two players in front of you for you to be onside.
But wasn't it Callum?
It was
Callum McGregor's own header, was it not?
Aye.
So you can't play yourself offside. Yeah, but that's not offside, John.
Wait a minute, Callum McGregor's header, Carson said that McGregor run off the park behind the goals.
Yep, that's not offside.
I know, he never scored. But when he come back on the park, he's offside.
Right, I'm being harsh. I'm a bit lost because...
Who played him onside when he went off the park?
No, but it was Callum McGregor was the last Celtic player to touch the ball, John. So
the goalie saved it.
Right, so how is that offside then? Maybe I'm picking it up wrong, Mark Guidi. 2 seconds.
McGregor run off the park.
Right.
He run back on the park.
Uh-huh.
And the referee gave a penalty. He's offside.
But a Celtic player has to play the ball to him for him to be offside.
He was behind the goalkeeper and the last player.
Who played the ball to him? Which Celtic player played the ball to him?
He headed it off the Motherwell goalie.
Yeah, he
goalie
did.
Palmed it back into play. He came from an offside position.
Right, I'm worried that we're slightly going round in circles here. And listen, if I've picked it up wrong, feel free to get in touch. But my memory of the incident is Callum McGregor goes through and goal. He hits a shot. Trevor Carson saves it.
Scoops it back.
McGregor then headers it towards goal. Yeah. Carson flicks it. So whilst McGregor did run off the park, I personally can't see how that's offside. But fair play to John and Motherwell. He seems fairly convinced.
I'm with Mark. I don't think it's offside. I think he's come back on the park. As you say, no Celtic players played at him. You're allowed to come from an offside position and go and challenge the ball because the Motherwell player's got to get the ball. And the rules are all changed now. Gone. For instance, if McGregor runs off the pitch and the Motherwell centre half runs off the pitch with him and actually tackles him, well, it's a penalty kick. That's the rule. It's a penalty kick.
Off the pitch,
off the
penalty
pitch. And the person that makes the tackle that kicks out him, he gets sent off, and it's a penalty kick. So the rules are changed now, and I'm sure Willie Collum would have noticed what was going on, because I think Brendan Rodgers is right in one thing. Willie Collum had a fantastic view of the full situation.
I always say that this show specialises in what I call selective hearing. Kennedy has tweeted in, "Are we surprised Gordon doesn't think it's a pen? He's so predictable." Gordon has just said that after seeing it this afternoon, he's now not too sure and he thinks it might be a penalty. So he didn't say it wasn't a penalty. Anyway, let's hear from some of the main characters involved, shall we? Brendan Rodgers has defended his players, insists that they're not divers. This comes after Celtic given that penalty in last night's 1-1 draw at Fir Park. So we had, as you would imagine with these things, differing views on them. Can we get, just before we play this, Gordon, can we get you to commit either way? Are you still not sure? Mark Guidi thinks it was a penalty.
No, I'm going to commit, Gordon. I thought it was a penalty kick.
Our consensus in the studio. Yeah, we don't get that.
We don't get that too often. I must admit, walking through the doors tonight, I thought I'm in for a real good night tonight. But I've got to put my hand up. When I watch Willie Collum's view of it, I think Willie Collum's called it spot.
Right, let's do Brendan Rodgers first of all, shall we?
This is a team, I think we won the Fair Play Award last year. So, you know, we have values here as a club, as well as a team, and that's something that we always, go by. You know, this is a group of players that are very unified, clearly. A very honest group of players. You know, I see it every day. I think what we have is we've got two penalty decisions, of course, that have been the first two penalties of this season. that of course have come against the same opponent. And naturally, when you concede a penalty, you'll always look at it from the perspective of your side. And my side was that they were penalties, of course. So, but no, this is a group of players that are super honest, you know. And like I say, the referees have both been in good positions to give them, and gave both penalties.
I'm not going to talk about the decision. I'll talk about the game. Two good teams. They're both trying to win the game. You know, Celtic had a lot of chances, so did we. Trevor Carson was outstanding. Let's talk about Alan Campbell's performance, Chris Cadden's performance, Kieran Tierney, Scott Brown, because there were some quality performances out there. Let's not talk about the refs. I can't control them, I can't change it, but it was a terrific game of football.
Can I ask if he does think it was a penalty?
I'm going to make no comment on it at all. I'm not going to make any comment at all. I'm going to talk about how good I thought we were, how much we bridged the gap, and we got about Celtic again. And perhaps if we had 11 men on the pitch on Sunday, it might have been a really good cup final.
What do you make of the way Stephen Robinson handled that, Mark? You've been there as a newspaper reporter. I bet you would have been hoping that he would have slammed the referee and all the rest of it, but he decided for a more sort of dignified approach.
Good on him. You know, sometimes it's just too convenient, you know, manager slams referee and stuff like that. So again, he's kept his dignity by the fact that he's suggests that he doesn't think it's a penalty kick, and rightly so. You can see why he would think that at that time. Talking up his own players, as we know, Alan Campbell's a young player who's thought highly of. Chris Cadden's now got 50-60 first team games under his belt. He's absolutely flying. He's a guy that can become a major asset for Motherwell, and we all know about Scott Brown and Kieran Tierney. So what he did say is good. You know, bridge the gap. It's a good point in the league. You know, every point is vital for Motherwell, and to take a point off the champions and come within 2 minutes of being the first team to beat them in 66 domestic games speaks volumes for what Motherwell have achieved and the progress that they've made in the past 4 months.
Mark, do you think looking back, and I know hindsight's brilliant, especially if you're the underdog going in against Celtic, because you're thinking, right, we need to stop these guys playing and getting an early goal. He talks about young Campbell there, who they think very highly at Motherwell. He put him on the bench. Cadden was moved into the middle of the park. He moved things about, I think, to suit Celtic on Sunday. Whereas last night, he played his more natural team, his more natural game. And correct, he came within a couple of minutes, he getting a terrific result, and obviously breaking this, you know, Celtic's record just now. So I don't know if the Motherwell manager would look back and think, do you know, if I had my time over again, I would probably tactically go differently.
But we're
all great after the event.
He's maybe just overthought it in terms of ahead of Sunday. Let's try and stay in the game. Let's not be done and dusted after 20 minutes. So, yeah, you know, I can see where you're coming from, and that's probably why he has. So he thought, no, you know what? I'll think more about what my team can do on their own pitch rather than more about trying to stop Celtic.
Celtic fans, if you take all that to one side, the unbeaten run's still going. I suppose technically this is the closest that it's come to falling by the wayside. So get in touch. Are you impressed with the player's character? 01419511025 on that front. Ian's in Motherwell. Hi, Ian.
Hi there.
Hello. What's your point tonight, Ian?
Hi. I'd just like to put it to the panel that I was at the game Sunday, and the referee spoiled the game as a spectacle on Sunday by giving an atrocious decision. And the last night, some of the panel think it was a penalty. I personally don't think it was a penalty. And the thing was, Brendan Rodgers came out and he's put pressure on referees by saying they need strong referees, they need strong referees. And yet, another hand he's come out and saying they need a challenge, because they're too big for Scotland. And then referees are actually helping Celtic out. Motherwell put up a challenge in two games, and in the two games that they put up the challenge, they get done a kippa with bad refereeing decisions. That's my point.
Well, I mean, you guys have now come round to thinking that it actually was a penalty last night, so you're not going to agree with Ian and Motherwell on
The only thing I can say in that call is, Brendan Rodgers, mind games are played every time you cup finals or coming up an old firm or a real important game. Of course, mind games are playing, and Brendan Rodgers is a part of that. But in defence of probably the two most experienced referees in our game, and supposedly the two best, they've refereed all over the world, I don't think they would have been in a situation where they would have made decisions on the back of, you know, Brendan Rodgers' comments. I think these referees are too experienced for that. So I think we're being disrespectful to them.
Ian, were you happy to take the point last night? I mean, not many teams recently have had much joy against Celtic. They tend to be even better on the road this season than they are at home. I suppose the way it ended might have overshadowed things for you, but what did you make of it overall?
Yeah, when you look at it today and we look at, oh, we got a point, but when I left the ground last night, it was actually as if we'd get beat again. It actually felt worse than what it felt on Sunday, to tell you the truth. And as I say, yeah, Celtic's got a great record. They've got 60-odd games undefeated. But as I say, I'd have loved it to have been Motherwell who had done that last night. And over the two games, I think we deserve to beat Celtic last night.
Thanks to Ian in Motherwell for that call. Lots of you getting in touch on Twitter to say that the free kick which led to Motherwell's goal shouldn't have been a free kick. But listen, the game wasn't on TV. We're not seeing as much coverage of that incident. If someone wants to send us some, feel free, and I'll get Gordon DL to cast his expert eye over it. We'll take more of your calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Guidi and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's see who's on the phone lines. William is in Craigend. Hi, William.
Hello, buds. How are you doing? Good evening, guys.
Hello.
Hey, William.
It's just to talk about last night's game. I think both goals were, the decisions that were made by Willie Collum were a bit soft. I think, obviously, the players are looking for to gain an advantage in both occasions. And both decisions ended up in goals in the game. So, but I would like to say that I would get Steve Robinson is a breath of fresh air in Scottish football as well. I think that's twice that Motherwell has came close to the great run that Celtic's on. So, ending that. So, I look at the game last night. I thought Motherwell's goalkeeper, the save from Kieran Tierney, was. I don't know how he managed to keep that one out.
Yeah, the end of the first half.
It was a tremendous save. But I think all in all, I think it was a fair result last night.
So just to sum up, so you're a Celtic fan, William, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
But you thought the Celtic penalty was soft and the free kick which led to Motherwell's goal was soft. So you thought it was all round a difficult night for Willie Collum on that front, yeah?
I think what the players are doing, they're looking to gain an advantage, and that's the way I would put it. I mean, people are coming out saying they're diving and things like that, but if you look at Motherwell's goal, Scott Brown just brushed past Louis Moult and he lost his balance, so for the foul that led to Motherwell's goal. And the other one, there's contact. I still think McGregor is looking for it, you know, and that's the way I would put it.
I mean, to be fair, credit to Steve Robinson from William about the one last night. But I think last season that was still Mark McGee that was in charge when Motherwell came close, I think, wasn't it, the 4-3? So don't want to just to be inaccurate on that one. What do you make of William's comments in, Gordon, just proving that it is all about opinions? We're led to believe that, you know, it's one or the other. But William is a Celtic fan and he's saying, well, actually, I thought both decisions were wrong.
Well, unfortunately, William must have been at the game. I've not seen the incident leading up to the free kick. I've watched the free kick, Gordon. Unfortunate for Lustig. It's just a
I was going to say, I do sympathise with fans because I've been here many times. You know, if it shouldn't have been a free kick, then fine, it shouldn't have been a free kick.
But you've still got to defend it,
deal
Gordon.
With it. Yeah,
exactly. And that happens every week, every game. So if you get a decision against you, the one thing you've got to do is just say, right, okay, you've still to beat us. We're still going to defend this. Unfortunately, Celtic couldn't manage to do that. Where I do agree with William, yeah, I thought McGregor quite cleverly was looking for it because there was only 2 minutes to go. And I think Motherwell were frustrated because even if McGregor gets on the ball, he's going nowhere. He's going away from goals. You can defend that easily. And I always look at the reaction of a player at a penalty kick. And I know Rose was going off his head, but I think it was his own disappointment after watching the angle that Willie Collum had. I think he's so disappointed.
Well, he hadn't seen that at the time.
Which app?
You're talking about from you watching it. That's why you think that. Sorry, right, okay, I've picked you up wrong. Yeah. But well, to be fair, let's hear quickly from Andy Rose, because that doesn't quite tie in with what he was saying after the game.
I think in the box, I'd have an awareness of, if he was going to come in and get to the ball first. I've seen it back already. I've planted my leg, and he's just, sort of ran into me and flopped over. When the referee blew the whistle, I was shocked. Honestly, it really was. Tough job, of course, but for me, definitely not a penalty.
There we are. No surprise there. Andy Rose doesn't think it was a penalty. Brendan Rodgers does. That tends to be the way of the world.
Yeah, and the Motherwell defender saying, "Well, I planted my leg in there." Well, doesn't really need to go and plant his leg in there.
Another thing as well, doesn't he? I thought he says the Celtic player ran into me. Well, he didn't, because he's facing away. Rose has come in from behind. And look, I know it's making it very simplistic, and we can argue about it all day, but the bottom line is, it was a penalty kick. It was given, and Celtic scored because Willie Collum deemed it to be a foul.
Robertson Stevenson. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing there? Well, just agree with what Mark said about a penalty, because I was sitting at that, and I had a good view of it. And if you notice in one of the papers today, so you can see the player's got his knee in the back of the Celtic player's leg, and his left hand on the McGregor's left hand, and he's got his other hands at his waist, so that's it. But what I was mainly talking about was the indiscipline of the Motherwell players last night, and the indiscipline of the fans. When is SFA going to do something or something? When Brown and that was going over to take shies, he was getting pelted with coins and God knows what, and one guy tried to go on the park. The stewards had to rush down to contain it, and but the Motherwell players, they complained about everything. Never have I seen a team like that since in Aberdeen in their heydays, where they surrounded referees. They were surrounding a referee all the time, and even at the end of the game, there was about six of them around Willie Collum. Willie Collum couldn't get off the pitch for six players all round about and complaining, probably still complaining about the penalty decision, etc, etc. Now, this is a Motherwell team that in the game last night committed 19 fouls, and not counting the ones that Willie Collum missed, which I don't blame, there was that many going on where Armstrong got elbowed across the face, and I forget the other Celtic player that got caught by an elbow, but I didn't see it, I didn't give fouls, but 19 fouls, so you might as well say that roughly every 4 minutes or so, Motherwell are completing a foul. And just one other thing, Lewis Moe, I've seen him before in the last game, and I thought he was a decent player. I've seen him in other highlights. I thought he was a good player, could probably go somewhere. But this guy is a loose cannon. He was firing himself all over the park, banging into players, etc., etc. That's a side, I've not seen of him. But to commit 19 fouls, the first 7 fouls in the game were committed by Motherwell players.
Right, quite a lot to get through there, Robert. We are going to hear from We're going to hear from Scott Brown later in the show on his dissatisfaction with things being thrown from the stand, so that's fine. In terms of the fouling and so on, Mark, I can understand Robert's frustration, but that's what Willie Collum's there for. And he deemed Motherwell gave away a foul, for instance, in the box in the 88th minute, and he gave a penalty, and that's how Celtic scored the goal which levelled the game. So
yeah, I'm not sure what more
we can do about that side
of
things.
What you've got to do is, if you're a team like Motherwell and you're coming up against Celtic, you've got to try everything you can. I mean, what do you want to do? Stand back and let them play? So you've got to get wired in. Robert, to give yourself a chance, you've got to get in the faces of Celtic. You've got to keep a tempo going. You've got to smash them now and again, try and upset their rhythm. That's what you do. And you might not like to see it because it's your team, but if you're an opposing manager, an opposing player, you need to do all that, particularly against a team of the quality of Celtic. So, I don't really get your argument, to be honest.
And then, of course, I think you look at the game at Ibrox last night, which I watched back this morning, Gordon. There were 39 fouls committed in the full game there. Just to state the number of fouls in any given game doesn't always really reflect exactly. And Willie Collum in the second half showed a number of yellow cards. That's what he's there for. That's his decisions to make.
That's why he gets paid the decent money, Gordon. And I think that if Robert goes and looks at it, I'm sure, I could be wrong, I think it was, and I'll not nitpick, I think it was 18 fouls against 8 for Celtic. But when Celtic have got most of the possession. Obviously, there are going to be more fouls given against Celtic because they've got most of the ball. I don't think Motherwell done anything wrong last night apart play their own game. That's what's got them a bit of success in the league. Why change it? Because it's Celtic. We'll hear these complaints all the time. And Mark's right. If you stand off Celtic and let them play, they're going to run all the top of you, the quality they've got. So Motherwell played their own game and they came within 2 or 3 minutes of pulling off a great victory.
Okay, thanks to Robert and Stevenson for that call. Still loads to get through on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but first let's do this.
Beat the pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now is the time to pick up the phone if you fancy your chances on Beat the Pundit. Mark Guidi is standing by, Gordon DL is standing by, and you could be taking them on. Dial the number 01419511025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Guidi and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got some breaking news for you. Motherwell have issued a statement regarding some of the on-field and off-field stuff from Fir Park last night. So we're going to get to that breaking news as soon as we do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Just approaching 7:05, so as always, it is Beat the Pundit time. Tonight's contestant is from Caldercrooks. He's Kenny Lombardi. Have I got that right, Kenny?
Yeah, you have.
There we are. Good stuff. Quite a continental sounding name from a man from Caldercrooks, but there we are. Kenny, who would you rather take on, Gordon or Mark?
I think Mark probably reads a bit more than Gordon.
I think, to be fair, I think Mark probably does read a bit more than Gordon. That's a safe assessment from Kenny in Caldercrooks.
Yeah.
What kind of books have you been reading recently?
Oh, great books.
Loads?
Yeah.
Okay. The Argos catalogue leading up to Christmas?
Not at all. Right.
Okay.
Forget the coin. I'll go against Kenny.
All right, there we are. We've managed to wind him up, Kenny. That was my aim. So Gordon DL is going to play against you. Let's give him some Clyde 2 in his ear so that he can't hear your answers. And we'll get rid of his mic as well, Kenny. Right, 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Remember, Kenny, this is your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Yep.
Right, let's do it. Nice and loud because I'm struggling to hear you a wee bit. Name either scorer for Rangers last night. What position does Hamilton's Darian McKinnon play?
Centre back.
Who's currently top of the English Championship? Quick, the Estadio de Luz can be found in which European city? Former MP Ed Balls is chairman of which English Championship side? Oh, Kenny, you just took too long in some of them. The key is to fly through them if you can, but you never know. Gordon might get a wee bit stuck with these. Let's bring them back. Gordon DL, you with us?
Yeah.
Right, you ready? Same set of questions to you?
Yep.
Right, let's do it. Name either scorer for Rangers last night.
Tavernier.
Which position does Hamilton's Darian McKinnon play?
Midfield.
Who's currently top of the English Championship?
Wolves.
The Estadio de Luz can be found in which European city?
Lisbon.
Former MP Ed Balls is the chairman of which English Championship side?
Bristol City. No idea.
This will be a good one for you. How many games have Man City won in a row after last night's victory?
32.
Which Premier League club does Paul Clement manage? Quick.
Swansea.
There we are. See what happens, Kenny, when you're a bit quicker. You get through a few more. But let's go through the answers.
12, isn't it?
Kenny, did the nerves get the better of you there?
Oh, I'm ready for the pelters. I
And the thing is, with a name like Kenny Lombardi, everyone's going to know who you are. I don't think there are many of them walking about Caldercrooks.
I don't think Vince is getting to worry about.
Right. Let's go through them anyway, Kenny. Who scored for Rangers last night? Listen, it got off to a good start. That's what we always ask for you. The choice between Peña or Tavernier. You went for Peña, Gordon went for Tavernier. So that's 1-0. What position does Darian McKinnon play? Midfield. Gordon goes 2-1 up. It soon became 3-1 when he said Wolves were top of the Championship. It became 4-1. We're slagging him for not reading many books, but he knows where Lisbon is and he knows that the Estadio de Luz is there. 4-1. Ed Balls?
Norwich City.
How many games have Man City won in a row? What did you say?
I say 32.
32 games in a row would be quite something. So on to the last question. Which Premier League club does Paul Clement manage? You just said Swansea in the nick of time, which means it was a 5-1 victory for Gordon DL. Yeah. Kenny.
Kenny, could you imagine? I read books.
Exactly. They've been 10-1. Kenny, I believe you did have a point you wanted to make after we finished. Is that true?
Yeah, so I was originally phoning about the whole Red Bean debacle. So, you know, the simple fact is that the standard of Red Bean across Europe as a whole is pretty bad. You watch games in Spain, Germany, Italy, there's poor decisions in them all. Surely there's precedence for UEFA to step in and say it's time to look at this and actually take some action. And the suggestion that I had was cross-continental refereeing, let the referees go referee games in other countries as well, bring Italian referees here, send Scottish referees out. Mm. Because when they step up to the Champions League, they're exposed because the tricks, if you like, that players do in their home domestic games week in, week out, they're getting away with it at a Champions League level as well.
Yeah. It's an interesting point, Kenny, but I'm just wondering, if you think that they are bad referees in every country, what difference is it going to make when you send them on their holidays? Will they not just be bad when they come here and ours will be bad when they go over there?
Well, I think there needs to be much more focus on the referees' development, because the simple fact is not every country is a full-time referee. A lot of these guys, you know, have got
occupations
out with refereeing that takes up the majority of their time. If a footballer has to train full-time, then surely a referee, you know, going up to that level has to do the exact same thing, and I think that's where we're getting caught out. And perhaps learning how the game's played in other countries, especially for Scottish referees, when you're bringing in continental players who play to that style. I think there's some logic in that.
Let me ask the guys, Mark. I mean, I think things like VAR are being looked at to help referees. Whether Kenny's idea could ever happen, I think that's certainly way further down the line. But we know that steps are being made to try and change things from a referee's perspective. And time will tell how much of an impact it has.
Yeah, I think even at the SFA annual convention today, there was a presentation made by a VAR. What might have been David Ellery.
It was David Ellery. Yeah.
So yeah, look, if there's things that we can do to help referees, I kind of get caught in between. I think sometimes football's such a big business and livelihoods, and you want to do your best to get the correct decision that you must try and help them. And in order to do that, but I also think as well, you need to allow for human error in some parts. So. Look, I have a lot of sympathy for our referees. I mean, I do think they get a lot of things wrong, but they get a lot of things right. And I think as well, you know, the assistant refs and linesmen, you know, when you look at the tightest of margins and the way they can call the offside decisions right, sometimes too, you know, I think is really good. Does it, you know, if we ever found the funding to make them full time, you know, have 20 full time officials, would that help? Yeah, it would probably help. Would it guarantee getting it right every week? Absolutely not. So, you know, we've got to allow for human error, but we've also got to really look closely where we can to help them too.
Okay, I did say we had some breaking news coming out of Fir Park, and we do indeed have that. Motherwell have issued a statement in relation to that game against Celtic at Fir Park last night. I think the most sensible way to do this is go about it chronologically. So we spoke to Scott Brown earlier today. He was angry at the Motherwell fans after coins appeared to be thrown at Celtic players. He suggested that away fans can't handle Celtic's unbeaten run. He then goes on to say the sort of behaviour must be stopped before someone gets hurt.
Yeah, silence though. We didn't silence all the coins that were thrown and everything like that, but we managed to silence them for a little bit.
Did you get struck by anything?
I made a pound again, flying. Getting good at this game.
I mean, are you getting used to that now? Is this becoming more prevalent?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of talk about decisions and stuff like that, but people are getting hit with coins and getting stuff thrown at them pretty much every week now, just because we're doing so well in the league, and the away fans don't like that. But now we've understood it's part and parcel. When you go away, Lee Griffiths is hitting corners, he's getting things thrown at him, and people have got to make sure that we should be okay as well as when you're going to hit a corner, when you're hitting a free kick. And I know teams, they shout and sing whatever they want, but you can't be throwing things in. It's not showing a great example, is it?
So Motherwell have issued a statement tonight, guys. It says a number of things, but on that note, it says, we also note the comments of the Celtic captain today. As we do at every match at Fir Park, if any incidents are reported to us, we will fully investigate them. Should any evidence exist, we will take appropriate action against any individuals who have acted unacceptably. It then goes on to say, in addition, we will work with Celtic Football Club to fully investigate, amongst other things, the numerous acts of vandalism, including 200 broken seats, damaged toilets and graffiti in the McEwen Fraser Legal South Stand. That's the away stand behind the goal where Scott Sinclair scored. So Mark, just try and give us your thoughts on both sides there.
Well, obviously there's faults on both sides. You know, both sets of supporters, haven't they behaved well last night. You know, and I can never get my head round it, Gordon. Whether it's throwing coins or it's vandalism or whatever, you know, I get the kind of the singing part and people getting the head up and shouting things. You can lose it for a split second. I kind of get that thing. I don't have a major problem with that. But when it comes to going to a game of football and you either you're throwing missiles or you're vandalising toilets or vandalising lounges or whatever it may be, I can't get my head around that. As a human being, I don't know why that you go and behave in that manner. It's just beyond me, Gordon. But yeah, both clubs need to get into dialogue and try their best to sort things out.
Because Gordon, we like subjects on this show where we can debate and we can have two sides of an opinion and we can look at things and try and come to an understanding from each other's point of view. But this to me seems fairly simple. If, and I use that word very clearly here, if you're a Motherwell fan who threw a coin or anything else at Celtic players last night,
should be barred.
That was stupid. And if you're a Celtic fan who's trashed seats or graffitied toilets or did whatever else, you know,
should be barred.
It's fairly simple. They're both wrong in that.
Yeah,
I don't know really. There's not a great deal more we can actually add to that.
Yeah, but the biggest one for me, Gordon, and Mark's right, we can't get our heads around why you would go to a football game to enjoy it, support your team and walk into a toilet and smash it up. We totally accept that. You can't get your head around that sort of behaviour. But the thing that I worry about is, you know, for the players, they're going over there and a coin getting thrown at you, it can take your eye out or anything. It's just not acceptable. And these people have got to be removed from football. There's no excuse for it, Gordon. You can't have any excuse for that at all. It's danger in a football player. Whether it's, you know, Scott Brown or Lee Griffiths or whether it's Motherwell players away from home, Aberdeen, Rangers, whatever it may be, they're on there. That's their work. That's their job. They're doing their best for their club. Yeah, okay, verbal abuse. We've all had that. And we can accept that we're big boys, but I'm sorry. And Scott Brown makes light of it there about, you know, that's me made another pound. But this is a dangerous act, and it needs to get wiped out of our game.
Yeah, it was good to hear Motherwell saying that any evidence they can get, they will act on those issues as well. So it looks like this one will run and run, Mark, especially with the acts of vandalism there as well, because I think that has happened before in that fixture, hasn't it? The seats in the stand behind. And by the way, let me be very clear again, not exclusive to this fixture. It happens a lot of places. It just doesn't make it okay though.
Yeah, but you know, name and shame the culprits.
Okay, back to the phone lines. Sean is in Bells Hill. Good evening, Sean.
Evening, panel. How you doing, alright?
Yeah, not bad.
There is. I don't know what the guys think yet. Part of my culture growing up, I thought about TV, evidence, you know, on the playing field, goals and offsides and whatever. I don't want it. Part of me getting back to my work on Monday morning is a debate. You're in the boozers, you have a debate. And I think the TV evidence is going to spoil it. I think that's part of our culture. We've been used to it all this time.
Yeah, I get that point from Sean, Mark. That, in it, you mean you take debate away. We'll have some very quiet shows here. But
Gordon, and Sean's right about, you know, in the old days, you go on a Monday morning and everybody, it's still the same because, as I touched on, when I watched that penalty kick this morning, well, not penalty kick, sorry. No, it was a penalty kick. Sorry.
Make up
when
your
I
mind.
When I watched that penalty kick this morning, I'm thinking, that's never a penalty kick. But then I come in and I sit and I have a look at it from a different angle and I completely change my mind. So the debate...
Eventually.
I got there, Mark. Sometimes you've just got to take your time, not let you just dive in and open your mouth for the sake of it. But what happens is you look at that and even looking at that many times, I've decided now it's a penalty kick. Some people are still saying, no, it's not a penalty kick. So the debate, whether you've got TV cameras there showing it, and Mark touched on about the referees, it shows you... They come in for a hard time. It shows you how difficult it is to make that split decision, and they've got to get it right, because if they don't, boom, all of a sudden they're the bad people.
Therein lies the challenge, Mark, for people who are coming up with the technological procedures that we may embark on, because it's all about getting better decisions ultimately, not costing teams points unnecessarily, managers losing their jobs, all the rest of it. But as Sean says, trying to just keep that bit of debate there and that bit of excitement.
Yeah, but well, if we take... The most recent controversial incident is in the 8th minute last night, Andy Rose on Callum McGregor. Now for me, that has to be a matter of the match official's opinion. that can't be a matter of fact because it's not blatant or malicious. You've got to roll with it. Now, I would say, for example, the Cedric Kipre one with Scott Sinclair, that should go to review. You know, if you, if you've
got, does it not need to be like all penalties though? Well, is that not where, no, it's,
I think,
where it's, well, heading?
You maybe have the challenge system or whatever it may be. You know, I think for me, the Cedric Kipre is never a penalty kick and therefore shouldn't have been a red card. You can debate whether he should have been on the pitch because he should have been red carded early in the game for his tackle on Dembele. So you can trace it right back. But I think, for example, is it in the box or not? That is a matter of fact. That's where you can use video assistant referees. Was the ball over the line? Yes, things like that. So I think we can still have room for debate in certain things, but there's other things where it is big money, it's people's livelihoods. For example, a massive one recently, a total injustice, was Northern Ireland against Switzerland, which is an absolute shocker. And in this day and age, we must be able to get by decisions like that and get to the correct decision.
Stephen Ray's on Twitter. He says VAR in Serie A has been outstanding so far. A couple of times it's taken longer than it should, but ultimately the correct decisions have been made regarding offside goals and penalties. So I mean, ultimately, and that's why it's in its teething stages, you know, in Serie A and other things, as they try and streamline the process. If it got, you know, that bit quicker, as Stephen says, sometimes it's the time delay. People think it takes a bit out.
But I still believe that Willie Collum looking at that in a replay runs over. I think you still make the same decision, Gordon.
Yeah. And we're not on this occasion, though.
We're still debating. You know, there's people still on here saying, no, it's not a penalty kick. So you can have all that. I yeah. like the goal line because I think that you've got to have.
That's a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I think with that, though, you've got to stick. But if there's debate, you must stick by the match officials' opinion. Like, we're debating, still debating Andy Rose last night. I think if you're debating it, you must stick with whatever the referee has given.
Okay, let's quickly bring in Robert in Bayliston. He's an Aberdeen fan. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Not bad, Robert. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I've been on a few times about Aberdeen, mostly in a negative sense. And it's always been the same subject, the manager. I don't know how he watches the same kind of game or the same games that I watch or most days watch. He's... tactical awareness is non-existent. I don't know how he gets by. I don't know how we're sitting second in the league, because when it comes to big games, the guy falls apart. He changes it. Why he changes it, I don't know. We had a good formula against Kilmarnock. He changed it last night. Game was done at 2-0. I phoned in 3-4 years ago, Scottish Cup semi-final against St Johnson at Ibrox. 1-0 up with Peter Pollock. Losing 2-1, he makes a substitution with 90 seconds to go. Scottish League Cup final against Dundee United, we're 1-0. Jackie McNamara makes a couple of substitutions. We're doing 2-1. He changes it with 4 minutes to go. Celtic at Pittodrie, he keeps Rooney and Hayes on the bench before the start of the game. Why? At home to Celtic, tight park, get up, get at them. Don't know. Last night, classic. I fully expect us to get beat on Sunday. I fully expect us to get beat on Sunday. If that's the case, he should leave Sunday night, Monday morning, and go to govern, because that's where they want him and that's where he wants to go, because he's no doing it for us anymore.
Let me ask Gordon, Robert, time's slightly against me, but I do want to get your point answered. I think it's important. So let me ask Gordon DL, particularly on last night. I won't ask you to go back to the St Johnson game or the Dundee United. Tactically, where did it... And did it fall apart for Derek McInnes, if so, where?
Yeah, of course it did, because the proof is in the pudding when he had to make the substitution even before half time. And there's only 3 or 4 minutes to go. Usually a manager will wait to get the players in the dressing room, make the decision then. I thought Derek got his tactics wrong last night. I was expecting Aberdeen to come out in the front foot, have a real go at Rangers. Rangers have come off the back of two real bad results, and the crowd wouldn't have accepted a poor performance last night. I think Derek McInnes and the system and Aberdeen players, remember Aberdeen, as much as Robert's given Derek McInnes a bit of stick, Aberdeen players have got to stand up and take a bit of criticism as well. But all credit to Rangers. Rangers went right at them. The diamond in the middle of the park, Aberdeen could not handle.
Now, it doesn't matter what team you support, because the next bit of information I have for you is going to interest anyone, anyone out there with any common sense. £2,000 in your bank account this weekend, Gordon. You would not knock that, would you? Not
love
at
it.
All. So you've got the chance to win an extra £2,000 this weekend. If you enter Clyde One's 2K day, you could win it tomorrow. But remember, you have to have a GML, PAKA or FK postcode. And if you do, then text the word YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. A winner will be chosen, as always, at random when the lines close at 9am tomorrow. Text costs £1.50. All the usual T's and C's and online entry at ClydeOne.com. We're going to hear from Derek McInnes after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Mark Guidi are here with me, Gordon Duncan. I was thinking about not repeating this, but Gordon DL has been so ridiculous during the break. He was just telling us that because he was so pacey as a footballer, that he thinks he would be now tailor-made for the Man City team. So if his move to Man City had come now, you think you would thrive?
Yeah, I'd be
unbelievable.
I'd be top. Top-notch. And
De Bruyne just playing the ball through to you.
Well, me and Sergio,
Aguero,
me and
yeah,
Sergio up front, me just playing off him.
Right, we really need to move it on. Before
I'm just trying to think who we'd get the swap deal. One of the stewards or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay, it's full time teaser time for these guys. This one's been sent in by Mark Simpson from Dalry. He's a St Mirren fan. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to take you too long to spot the theme here, since it's St Andrew's Day, of course. So I'm looking for...
Oh, I signed by Man City, St Andrew's Day.
Oh, here he goes again, right?
That's why must have came to me.
Since 1975.
75.
Can you name the 8 Andrews? See what we did there?
Oh.
Who have at least one cap for Scotland?
One cap, Scotland.
Well, at least one cap. So
Christian,
been capped.
Christian names. So it'll be Christian names then?
Yeah.
First name's Andrew.
Yeah, sorry, first name Andrew. Andy, obviously.
Andrews.
All right, okay, we've got a few already.
Go on then, Squid, shout them out, because I usually come well later on.
Just give us a couple then if you've got them.
Andy Gray.
Yes, Andy Gray.
Times two.
Oh, he's straight in there with one of the difficult ones as well.
Yep.
Andrew.
Andy Gray. There was Andy Gray.
Leeds United one as well. Boy, Frank Gray's boy.
Oh, great.
There you are. Yep. Two caps in 2003.
Andy,
superb.
That was it. Well, Andy Gray times two.
That gets us off and running. We'll get back to that. Let's speak to Peter in Coatbridge. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good evening, panel.
Hi there.
Hi, Peter.
Right, I've got a couple of points I want to make. First and foremost, before I say anything about my points, sir, a Merry Christmas to all the panel and all your families. I hope you have a happy and safe time.
Well, Peter, that's the first one. You're getting in nice and early. Merry Christmas to you when it eventually rolls around.
Make sure I get in there first.
Right, all the best is, when it comes.
Thank you very much. I watched a game, and I work as a taxi driver, so I don't get many weekends off, but midweek, I was in my local pub a couple of weeks ago, and there was a Bundesliga game on. Right, now the referee awarded a penalty, and it was Bayern Munich, but I can't remember who they were playing, and the team he awarded the penalty against immediately appealed it to the ref, and he instantly ran up to the halfway line, where a fourth/fifth official was standing with a laptop on a little table, and turned it around and showed it to the referee, who then pointed to the spot and confirmed the penalty. Now, if they can do that in the Bundesliga, why can't we be doing that in Scottish football? That's my first point. My second point, to help cut out all this cheating, I lived down in Australia for about 10 years, and they play a wee game down there. It's just a wee bit tamer than an Old Firm Cup final. They call it Aussie Rules football. And what they do, if the referee bans somebody for a two-match ban or a three-match ban during the game for an infringement or whatever, the player can either accept that or appeal it. If he appeals it, it goes up to a match review panel. And if he loses his appeal, the three-match ban's doubled to a six-match ban. Also, if the referee doesn't pick something up and a player has been seen by the match review panel to have done something which they term bringing the game into disrepute, they can then penalise that player after the game. They can't change the result of the game, but they then ban the player for, you know, two matches or three matches or four matches. Why can't something like those ideas be incorporated into football to try and cut out all this cheating? Because if we've got modern technology, we should be using it to assist the referee.
Okay, let me ask Mark Guidi's opinion, Mark, because obviously it's in play in some countries, and that's because this is this trial, isn't it? IFAB are going through a 2-year trial period. I think that ends in 2018. So for instance, even the English Premier League, with all its money, doesn't have VAR at the moment, and next year would be the earliest that it would arrive there. So to answer Peter's point, that's certainly why we don't have it at the moment, or we're not close to having it. But I think all we can really do is wait until the end of that trial period. The experts get together, see what worked, see what didn't, and then we take it forward from there.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. They will gather all the evidence, all the information. Gordon, they'll look at financially what they can do, what's affordable, what's viable, what's actually going to help the game and not hinder it, because you can maybe bring in too much and it causes too much of a delay. So there's a lot of things to look at. But there are ways that we can improve it. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But it does take a lot of money. But it's certainly things that we've got to look at and see what we can do.
I said we were going to hear from Derek McInnes, and I'm a man of my word. We're going to hear from him and Graham Murty after last night's game. So Graham Murty's challenged his Rangers players to replicate their performance against Aberdeen for the rest of the season. It was a 3-0 win. It was comfortable, and it puts Rangers within 3 points of Aberdeen. Murty says it's exactly what the players deserved.
I think I said to you guys that I see these fellas train every day, see the level that they're capable of. I think they've just shown a level that they need to go and live up to for the rest of the season, if not go and surpass that, because I asked for a performance and they gave me a really, really good one. I think that level of intensity, that level of grit, that level of fight and that level of quality as well. I think you saw all aspects from the team this evening, and in the biggest games our bigger players, I thought they lifted the team. So it's a hell of a standard to live up to, but we've said that all the way through. If you want to play for this team, you have to perform in the big games, and I thought they did that remarkably well this evening.
Therein lies the challenge for Graham Murty, sorry Gordon. If you thought that they were going to be difficult games for Rangers, well, they couldn't really have dealt with last night's much better. They then go to Pittodrie, and quite rightly the Rangers fans are now going to expect a similar performance.
Yes, I thought Rangers were excellent last night, Gordon. I thought they were under a little bit of pressure before the game, especially coming off of the disappointment of the back-to-back defeats, Hamilton at Ibrox, and no disrespect to Hamilton, Dundee sitting bottom of the league. So it was a sore one to take, and you know, Graham Murty, I thought he set his team out very well. Tactically, I thought he got it bang on, and he reaped the rewards for it. You can argue the third goal was offside, but the result was never going to be in any doubt. Rangers were in total control of the game, and you know, it'll be a different game when you go up to Pittodrie. We've all been there as players. It's a real hard place to go and get a result. It'll be a terrific atmosphere, but all Graham Murty will be saying to his players is, show me the same spirit. And you know, you can accept that, because I thought Rangers really come out the blocks last night.
Well, Don's boss Derek McInnes says they simply didn't turn up at Ibrox. He hopes they can learn from the mistakes for the return fixture on Sunday. McInnes admits they were outplayed by Murty's side and said the players now need to take responsibility for their performance.
We got what we deserved. I thought the first half, the initial start of the game, you know, we spoke about trying to keep the crowd quiet or get onto the bring pressure onto the Rangers players after the couple of results I've had, you know, but we gave them complete opposite, gave them a lift, you know. It was an unnecessary penalty giveaway. Got to show more restraint there and awareness, and it helped get their crowd into it. And I thought the end Rangers players were brighter than us. I thought they showed more energy in the middle of the park. I thought they won more headers. I thought they were more aggressive. Everything I expected from one team, to be honest, in the early part of the game. You know, we get to half time 2-0 down, still I think it's still a result there for us if we can go and win, get the next goal and win the second half. And I thought we were far better. I think maybe in terms of personnel, I thought the shape was better of the team as well, and I thought we took more responsibility in the second half.
Derek McInnes, Mark, under any circumstances will have been raging last night. He'll be desperate to put it right at Pittodrie. Then you add into the mix all this continuing speculation. I know he tried to put an end to it, but it hasn't really worked on some quarters, linking him with the job. So all of a sudden that's now built up as to be a massive game for Aberdeen on Sunday.
Well, I think he spoke very honestly there last night in terms of his assessment. He can't stop speculation if Rangers want him to be the manager, you know, and Aberdeen can't stop Rangers trying to get him, and that's something that he's just had to deal with in the past few weeks. The shout, appears to be that something is going to happen next week once this fixture is out the road at Pittodrie on Sunday. Is it that far down the road? I'm not so sure that it is. Do Rangers want him? Yes, I believe that they do. Do I think it's going to happen? I would say it's 70-30 that Derek McInnes will probably become the next manager of Rangers. But while he is employed by Aberdeen and looking after that football club, he will try his best, and that will be the case on Sunday, as you say, particularly in front of, you know, the Aberdeen supporters, full house at Pittodrie, and particularly in the back of the disappointment of last night.
A word on Ryan Christie, who is undeniably one of Aberdeen's main players and now can't play in that game because he got sent off last night.
Yeah, stupidly, two yellows, Gordon. He'll be a big miss. The game was already away from Aberdeen. It was a silly second yellow booking, and especially at home, because he's the one that creates a lot of stuff for Aberdeen going forward. So I think that's Derek McInnes will be really disappointed in that sort of a discipline from his player.
Alec from Motherwell is on the phone. Hi, Alec. Hello. What's on your mind tonight, Alec?
I've been listening to the show. It started at 6 o'clock, and I heard the statement that came out of Fir Park about the fans' behaviour.
Yes.
And I also heard about Scott Brown's comments on it. But I know the fans, what they've done last night is, in all conditions, it is wrong. But there's something that everybody's missed tonight. What about Lee Griffiths when he got booked for gesturing to the Mullow fans? Now, this isn't the first time Lee Griffiths has been booked for dissent with that. So I think players, as well as fans, have got to conduct themselves in a manner that it goes with them. So I just wonder what the panel think about Lee Griffiths. I didn't see you, Jess, and I only listened to the game on the radio. But I did hear that he got booked for dissent, for gesturing to the Mullow fans.
That's the whole point there, Mark, though. Alec, in many ways, has sort of answered his own point. That's why the referee has to book players. If they're going to do that, he books them, and that's their form of punishment. And therefore, if fans do something, they are going to have to be punished in a different way. So, but where Alec is probably right, it's just a two-way street. But if players keep their side of the bargain and fans keep theirs, then happy days, everyone can get on with it.
Yeah, just everybody just try and behave.
Is that it? End of story. On you go, Alec, come back in.
This isn't the first time that Lee Griffiths has been in trouble for his antics on the park.
But again, Alec, what I'm trying to say is if that's the case, you know, that's a bookable offence, and when he picks up the bookings, that's the punishment. So I'm not really sure what more, or if you are expecting more, is that what you mean? You want a different type of punishment?
Well, I would think so, yes. No, I mean, if it's a first-time thing, okay, fine. But with Lee Griffiths, it seems to be a regular occurrence.
So what would you like? What would you like to see happen to him, Alec?
honestly, when I'm on air,
keep it polite.
But yeah, I mean, see, why? You know, what is it you want to see happen to him?
I mean, do you think, for instance, Alec, then, if you're not happy with a yellow card, Lee Griffiths turns round and does a gesture, daft as it may be, do you think that's a sending off offence?
Well, probably not. I mean, I can understand in the heat of the moment, players do take a bit of stick from the tendencies, and sometimes they can react. But it's just because it's not a vendetta against Lee Griffiths. It just seems to be Lee Griffiths seems to do it all the time.
For what it's worth, I think Lee Griffiths himself, Mark, has admitted that it's a side of the game he has to cut out. Remember there was the scarf tying and all that, and Brendan Rodgers was asked about it, Lee Griffiths. So he didn't manage to keep a lid on it last night. He got himself booked for a gesture to the crowd. So I'm sure that's something he will want to cut out.
He's got to eradicate that from his game. When he's on the field, his game, you know, his professionalism. The booking's taught up Gordon, and let's say he misses out, you know, through a suspension, and
at a time when Moussa Dembele's injured,
Dembele's injured, you know, so you know he's got to be careful, and that must be a real source of frustration for his manager and his teammates and himself. I'm sure he'll go home, and when he reflects, I think, what am I doing? But then he becomes a repeat offender. So yeah, it is something he's got to stamp out his game. But sometimes, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, a leopard can't change its spots. Mission Christmas.
With Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West. Clyde One.
Now, I know lots of you are going to want to get involved in our Christmas jumper day. Gordon DL's got one already. He told me it's half and half for his two favourite teams. It's Motherwell on one side, Man City
Man City on the other with a Rudolph nose in the middle. So if you want to do something similar, you can get involved.
The Rudolph nose is on my face.
You can get involved in our Christmas jumper day, Friday the 8th of December. That's Friday the 8th of December. That's just one of the things going on with our Mission Christmas 2017. It's well underway already. And a big, big thank you, a heartfelt thank you to anyone who's already donated. You can get your whole work involved in the jumper day, by the way. If you're at school, maybe roll out with the class, a taxi driver, get it on in the taxi. And if you want to make a big difference to the kids who need it most here in Glasgow in the West, then here's what you can do. To donate £5, text the word Clyde to 70808. That's Clyde to 70808. Just raise money and have fun along the way, and all the money that we raise will go towards helping kids who need it the most right here on our doorstep. We'll be back after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Guidi and Gordon Dale are here. They're struggling with this full-time teaser, so they are. They're really going for it. We're looking for since 1975, and that's the key, because a couple of you have got in touch and sent me some proper prehistoric Scotland internationals. That's not what I'm looking for. Since 1975, we're looking for the eight Andrews who have at least one cap for Scotland. This is all because it is St Andrew's Day. So before the break, you gave me Andy Gray and Andy Gray, both of them. Mm-hmm. What else have you got for me?
I've got Mall Pal, one cap. He got two caps in the one day, his first and his last. Andy McLaren.
Andy McLaren in 2001, he got his one cap. Yep.
Craig Brown capped him against Poland.
Daz, you bringing anything to the table?
Andy Walker.
Mm-hmm. Three caps.
Good shout. Yeah. Andy Webster.
So you're getting to the more easy ones now. 28 caps he's got.
Many we're looking for now.
You've got three to go.
Three?
You've got another one. The Scotland Robert. Number one.
Andy Gorham.
Andy Gorham.
I thought we gave you Andy Gorham.
Nope.
Sorry.
And
we still going. Maybe you're not struggling then.
We've got seven in. We've got one to get. You've got Andy Robertson. Dad's got Andy Robertson.
Oh, Andy Robertson. That's an easy one. He's still in the squad. So you've got one more to get. Plenty of time to get that.
Dad said, does it count, bearing in mind you said 75 for the 1978 World Cup songs? Andy Cameron, did he get a cap for the song? No.
I'm afraid not. I can't give you that one. Stuart's inquiry says no. Ross is in East Kilbride. Good evening, Ross.
How you doing, panel?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, listen, it's just to make a couple of points. Like, what do you think we can do, like SFA can do to help referees? I mean, I'm a Mull fan, and the last two games obviously have been massive. There's poor penalties that, I mean, I think it's clear as day that they're not penalties. And obviously, the cup final, that's a massive one. That's a massive decision Thompson's made. That we all know that it shouldn't have been a penalty. And then last night, I think Willie Collum, it's just went to it with the Celtic fans shouting for a penalty. I mean, the 88th minute, I mean, there's not a chance that's a penalty. Just, I don't know what can we do to help referees. I mean, the standard of referees up here is really poor. It's just to see what you think we can do.
Ross, you may not have heard the full show. So both of these guys, and they won't be popular in your house, Ross, both of these guys think it was a penalty last night. So we'll put that to one side, and we'll speak generally and answer mm-hmm. your point for it. Mark, I know you used to be in attendance at the SFA, and your role at the Scottish Football Writers Association. They bring some of the stakeholders together, don't they? Referees involved, yeah. And explain the process and so on.
Yeah.
What type of things are we doing then, apart from the obvious, you know, the video assistant referee that may be somewhere down the line? That's a sort of obvious one. What processes are there to try and ensure that our referees are performing at a top level?
There's plenty of communication between the head of referees, John Fleming, and his staff, you know, all our referees. There's communication between the managers, and I think John gets plenty of phone calls and emails over the course of a Monday morning. He takes them all, he answers them. His answers might not be to the satisfaction of the managers or coaches, but he tries to answer them honestly, and he'll hold his hands up when his officials have made mistakes, which does happen week in, week out, which is a part of human nature and human error. I think our referees have got a really tough job. I think they are an easy target. Some of them don't help themselves. I do think, you know, what I kind of laugh at is when you hear supporters of what, you just zoom in the Old Firm, they say, oh, he's anti-Rangers or he's anti-Celtic, and I say, well, I go to games all over the country, all different clubs, and actually there are just some referees that aren't very good. They don't have an agenda. For whatever reason, they're just not on it often enough. And I think supporters of football clubs have got to remember that. They don't go out there, you know, thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to try and do this against this team today or that. They just sometimes get it wrong.
Happy with that, Ross, or as happy as you can be with two men who think it was a penalty last night?
I don't know whether they think it can be a penalty. I've watched it back, and replays of it, and it's clear to see that.
Have you seen it from all the angles, Ross? Because you might have missed this earlier. Gordon said himself, he woke up this morning and he was absolutely adamant that it wasn't a penalty, but he's just seen it from a different angle, and that's what's changed his mind. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen one, and it looks a bit faster, and it looks like it does look a bit like Ross has maybe done something. But for me, what gives it away is McGregor looks over his shoulder to see where Ross is, and he leans back into Ross. Obviously, Ross's legs are planted. Ross doesn't push him. He doesn't put his foot out to trip him up or nothing. Ross doesn't do any of that. McGregor backs in him and falls over. And before McGregor's even hit the deck, Collins basically put him to the spot. He knew a penalty was going to be coming. Because Paul put money on getting a penalty last night.
Well, let me quickly bring in Ricky in Easterhouse. We're fast running out of time, but Ricky, you've got an opposing viewpoint, I suppose.
Aye, I just wish I could get some hankies to a guy over there to stop his wee whining there. Listen, we've been told over the years whenever there was anything contentious went against Celtic that, oh, if they suck it up, these things level themselves out over the course of a season, etc, etc, all that kind of nonsense. There was never any talk of video panels and video referees to help referees. We were basically told to drive our eyes.
Well, that's just a sign of the times, though, Matt Ricky. But that's no, just a sign of the times. It's nothing to do with Celtic.
I was at both games. I've since watched them both on TV. They may have been much regarded as the soft variety, but they were both penalties. There was contact made. One on Sunday, Scott Sinclair's running at pace. All right, the guy brushes against him. He still hits him, knocks him off balance. Apparently, last night, clear barge in the back of Callum McGregor. Definite penalty. So I don't know what the discussion is here. I really don't.
So that's it. So that's it. When the full-time whistle goes, Ricky, you don't expect anyone to even debate the decisions or have a different viewpoint from you, because you say end of story, and that's the way it has to be.
Well, that's what it seems to be in the past. Whenever they went against Celtic, we were told that's it, game's over. It was a penalty. It was a free kick. What's the guy who played for Inverness, handballed him, we should have got a penalty. We were told after that, these things happen. Deliver himself out, etc.
But Ricky, we debated that incident for about 14 nights on this show, so it's not as
no,
if we just ended the debate.
No, you didn't. That's rubbish.
You did.
No, actually,
I do say so.
Ricky, I'm telling you, we did. It rumbled on for at least 2 weeks. The end of mess. Yes, it did.
You're telling fibs
now,
Mark.
No, I'm not.
Okay, well,
listen.
Nobody challenges you. Nobody challenges you. You can sit there and spout your garbage all the time. Honestly, it comes to Celtic.
Ricky.
It's funny, isn't it? Ricky's an angry man.
I'm angry, you're entertaining these guys.
Who?
Well, said it was a penalty kick.
Ricky, we're here for a forum for everyone, because you came on and said that you do think it was a penalty. The previous caller thought it did. Well, that's fine. That's called the difference.
You've got a guy on the show tonight who actually called Scott Sinclair a cheat. He accused a professional of being a cheat.
They both thought it was a penalty last night.
Ricky, see if you stop shouting a wee minute and calm down. We might have a better programme. What I was going to say is, are you telling me you think it was a penalty on Sunday?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, fair enough.
See, and that's the beauty of it. We can agree to disagree. Thanks to Ricky in Easterhouse. There we are. Thanks, Ricky. You'll be our final caller of the evening. Have a good night. You all right? Oh, he's away. Okay. So give him the chance to say bye. He's not having it. Okay, thanks to Ricky in Easterhouse. I think that probably will be the last call of the evening. Looking at the clock, I think it certainly will be. Gordon, just quickly, whatever way you look at it, all the drama, whether we're not allowed to debate them or not, as Ricky wants, it still sets us up for a cracker at Celtic Park on Saturday, and then a cracker at Pittodrie on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I'll be at Celtic Park on Saturday. I'll be looking forward to that one. There've been good games, Gordon. Exciting last night. Motherwell coming so close. We'll have more talking points of that, there's no doubt, on Saturday night. And then Aberdeen trying to revenge that sore one last night from Rangers. So it's going to be a cracking weekend of football.
Right, I think you've got
and
one.
Don't forget the other teams, the smaller teams.
Absolutely, lots of good games, and we'll cover that on tomorrow night's show. I think we do have one left to get on the teaser. We were looking for the Andrews that have been capped for Scotland since 1975. Mm. We're looking for 8. You've already got 7. You've got Gorham, Webster, the two Greys, Robertson, Walker, and McLaren. That means you're only left with 1 to get. No.
I've got a guess, but if I get it, he's going to call me.
Right, what is it? I don't know. I'm starting. Andy Lynch was the only one I could think of, but that's not right.
Was Andrew Shinney get a cap?
Andrew Shinney is.
Oh,
well done to you.
Course.
One cap well back in 2012. Well done. Well done to Gordon Dale. Thanks to Gordon and Mark Guidi for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks to everyone who got in touch on the phone lines and on Twitter as well. We'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. The big build-up ahead of another great weekend of Scottish football. I'll be in the company of Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. Callum Gallagher's up next.